In the name of Jesus, amen. This morning, Jesus paints for us a clear mental picture. Winter has ended, thanks be to God. The sun heats the ground, and now it is time for the sower to sow his seed. So this farmer goes into his barn, and he grabs handful after handful after handful of seed, puts it in his satchel bag, and throws his satchel bag over his shoulders, and he goes about his fields. He joyfully walks the earth, and he flings with abandonment the seed in gladness and hope into the soil of the ground. The sower sows the seed in hope. This is not Calvinist seed. This is not Arminian seed. This is not American evangelical Christianity seed. This is seed that is sown in hope that all might hear and then take root in the gospel. So the sower finds that as he sows his seed, he prays and he hopes that this seed will take root into an abundant harvest. He hums and he sings, perhaps, even as he sows his seed. And walking up and down the fields of his handiwork, he imagines how glorious that harvest will be. But heartache enters the picture of the parable. Because sadly, not every seed matures. Sadly, not every seed grows into a plant. Not every seed makes it. Jesus, the sower, wants us to realize a very important lesson, that it is very dangerous for the seed. For as he tells you, some seed falls on hard-packed and dry dirt and is quickly devoured by the birds. And that there's other seed that falls between jagged rocks, and while it grows quickly and it looks very healthy, but when the midsummer comes and that heat scorches those plants, because of their lack of roots, they wither and they die. And then some seed, the sower tells us, lands among the weeds and the thorns. They grow, but they grow only into tiny saplings. The weeds and the thorns, they choke them of the vital nutrients, and these also die. And so again, the point being is that there is much danger and drama out in the field where the seed is to grow. For what is sown in hope only reaps disappointment. None come to the intended end of the sower. And this is the warning of the parable that Jesus speaks. And it is also the wisdom of the parable that Jesus speaks. And it is this, that the seed is opposed by the devil. That the seed grows in danger. That the seed is attacked on every side and it is often defeated. But it doesn't have to end in dejection. For Jesus has one more scene to paint for us. He brings us, finally, through the summer, to the fall, and then finally to the harvest. And the fields are full as the sower goes about to reap this harvest. And there is hope, for there is a harvest. Not every seed will make it, but the sower does not sow in vain. At the end, there is life and there is abundance. This is the parable that Jesus speaks, not only to the crowds, but to his disciples, to us. And we often wonder, what does this mean? And we only have to read just a little bit further, because this is one of the parables that Jesus explains. Not that his explanation makes it any easier for us to hear it. but at least he tells us plainly what he means. What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God, and primarily that is the preaching of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. And the soils in which the seed falls are the ears and the hearts of sinners. So the first seeds, the seeds that fall on the hard and dry packed ground. Remember, the evil one stands opposed to this Word of God from the start. And sort of like birds, the devil flutters around quickly, snatching the preached word before it can even take root in the heart of the sinner. This is the tragedy of hard-heartedness, of why hard-heartedness is a reality for us children of God. For we are born without true fear, love, and trust in God. Even Jesus, knowing this, he gives Moses a certificate of divorce to give to others because of the hardness of heart. That is the tragedy, that when people hear the word of forgiveness and the call to repentance, they do not think that it applies to them. They refuse to say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." And so they reject forgiveness, and also they decline to forgive those who have sinned against them. But this is precisely why we come to church, because we are poor, miserable sinners, and we do not want the hardness of our heart to cause the gospel to be snatched away from us, and so we come to receive the Word of God. We come to receive this seed of grace. We come to receive this seed of hope that is planted in us through the preached and humble Word of God. For friends in Christ, if we neglect this catechesis, this preaching, this hearing, this Word at home and in the divine liturgy here at the church, Jesus is clear, it will not take long for the Word to be snatched away from you. How tragic it is that the birds, that the devils, should be more hungry for the Word of God than the children of God. This brings us to the importance of parents and guardians of little ones. Understanding how critical it is that you speak the Word of God to them, that you pray with them, and that you bring them to the house of the Lord. There is literally nothing more important that you do as father, as mother, as guardian of children, than to give to those children, these little ones of the parish or of your family, the Word of God, and to bring them into the fellowship of the body of Christ. Nothing more vital than to teach them the words and narratives of the Bible, to sing the hymnal with them, and to learn by heart the simple faith of the catechism. Nothing more essential than to teach them how to grow in their baptism and how they are to use it well throughout their entire earthly life. And nothing more necessary than for you to model by your life and your work the Christian life. To bring them to church week in and week out, just as surely as you tend to their earthly needs and clothe them and feed them week in and week out. Some seed falls on the ground that is rocky, and it musters tiny roots, and it is like a sapling. Here are Christians that when trouble arises, their faith withers and dries up. You know how it is in your garden or in your yard. You have a tree or a plant that you want to grow, but then if weeds and other things continue to sap the nutrients of that tree or of that plant, it doesn't have a chance. So it is that it often happens that sinners hear the preaching of the gospel. They believe in Jesus. They rejoice in the forgiveness of their sins. But then the weeds come, and the thorns come, and the suffering comes, and life gets hard, and life gets messy, and really complicated. And they give up. Yeah, we suffer, we bleed, we hurt, we endure the typical stuff that all sinners experience living in this fallen world. Temptations, afflictions, the sorrow, the death. And we feel often that God has abandoned us, or He's deserted us, or that this is not the life that we had wanted. And so we walk away. Not to mention that there is an extra dose of suffering for being a Christian. I don't know where it came from, but we have this idea that being a Christian makes your life easier and not harder. Couldn't be further from the truth. Now, being a Christian, you can't go to Sunday brunch with your family. You can't go to Thursday night supper club or other activities. You should be in church. You should be in Bible class. You should be in Sunday school. And you can't go along with all the jokes and all the carousing and all the just the awful behavior that occurs in cafeterias and locker rooms and the offices that we work and live in. We cannot embrace the culture's understanding of life or of sex or of love or what is good and what is right and what is true. Afflictions and tribulations because of or on account of the name of Jesus cause havoc for Christians that have very tiny root systems, tiny and shallow convictions and confessions of the faith. And then some seed falls amongst the weeds and the thorns. The cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world are a danger to the Christian. Again, like weeds that grow up around a tender plant, the cares and the pleasures of this world grow up around our faith. They choke it out. Here, the devil, he hands us over to all the bad things in life, to all the corrupt things, to the desires of our sinful heart and flesh. 10 out of 10 times, the devil will gladly give you over to your flesh. And he will give you the world if it will cause you to lose your soul and your faith. No question, he will do it. And it isn't, mind you, just the bad things that attack your faith. He's far more sinister, the devil, and crafty. He actually uses the good things and the good times and the good people in your life to pry you away from Jesus and wilt and diminish your faith until nothing is left. And so with this parable, Jesus very routinely outlines for us the unholy trinity of the Christian's faith and life. Their three greatest enemies, you know them. The devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. These are the enemies that always stand opposed to the Word of God and opposed to us and the eternal life that the Lord wants to harvest in us on the last day. These enemies are ever present. They're very crafty. They're very dangerous. And yet at the end of the day, at the end of our life, we know that these enemies do not have the final last word. For while the parable of the sower is a parable of warning, it also ends with triumph, with a harvest, with seed that falls on the good soil. And with these, the sower finds his expected outcome. And this is where everyone asks the question, which they should. What does it mean to be good soil? Well, Jesus plainly tells you in the text, it's right there. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. There it is. That's it. Hearing the word of God and understanding it. The seed doesn't grow because there's some super spiritual fertilizer, a miracle grow that's put upon it. The plant doesn't survive because of the holiness of the dirt that it's in. The plant simply survives because it is rooted in the Word, in the hearing of the Word of God. The power, the growth, the sustainability of the plant resides not in the plant or the dirt, but in the Word that is feeding it. So we say, the Word alone creates faith. The Word alone sustains and strengthens faith. The Word alone beats back the devil. The Word alone gives you patience to suffer. The Word alone gives you the energy to fight against the devil and your own flesh. The Word alone preserves you in faith and also produces by His Holy Spirit in you fruits of love and joy and peace and patience. There is no super spiritual secret to the warfare of the Christian. And also, you should be aware, there is no fast track to Christian maturity. There is no weekend warrior catechesis class. There is no just give it to me in one day and then I'm good, Pastor. No. It is a long and arduous battle that you must be prepared for. And also to realize that where you finish is also the exact place of where you started. In your holy baptism. In the kindness, in the graciousness, in the utter abandoning love and reckless love of this God sowing seed everywhere, that you might hear it and hear it unto eternal life. And that is why Jesus ends with the very important point that in having ears to hear, you hear. That you hear in the Scriptures that Jesus has already defeated the devil, even if it is through a foolish and cruel way. That you hear in the Scriptures that the Lord has already prepared you to suffer the things that He has given you to suffer. And that He gives you His Spirit in the midst of that suffering to comfort you and to bring to your lips the confession of Christ's holy name. And when you hear in the Scriptures, you hear that your flesh is being put into subjection. That is, that yeah, Jesus has a tiller and He's tilling under the earth the false gods and the false flesh of your body and soul. In order that He might bring to life forever a new man, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when we hear the Scriptures, we hear that we are rooted by our baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we are nourished week in and week out by His holy body and blood for the strengthening of our faith. You see, in Jesus, we are the good soil. We are the good soil of His tilling and His working and His making, of completing our salvation. That in Jesus, we know that what was sown perishable will be raised imperishable. That we know in Jesus that what was sown in dishonor is raised in glory. And we know that what was sown in weakness is raised by the power of God's Word to make all things new and right in the new heavens and in the new earth. In the name of Jesus, amen.